We mentioned that this is a special day. There's a lot going on today in the service. And we hate to see people go. You know, we hate to see people go. And several weeks ago, you know, we honored the Marianellis. They've been here like, I think, 29, 30 years, somewhere around 29 years or something like that, 30 something. And, but you know, there's another person here that this has been his only church, really. Right, Edge? Why don't you bring your lovely wife, Annie, up here? Come on up here. Give me a hand. This is Edgel and Annie Kaladish. Come right up here. Come on, right up here. And he was, his parents were in this church. In fact, his grandparents were in the church when we started it way back in 1970, and over 40 years ago. And so I know all the generations of the Kaladishes, you know, the grandparents and the parents. And now their children here, Edge. And the interesting thing is that this is probably the only church you've really known, right?
Yeah,
pretty much, yeah.
My home church?
Yeah, this is his home church. First church, home church, dedicated here, I presume.
Yep.
Dedicated here, baptized here, got involved in all the ministries here, youth group, et cetera. And, you know, I appreciate young people who continue to maintain contact with the local church. We hear a lot of reports of young people nowadays going off to college, then coming back, and then you don't see them in church anymore. They're gone. They're lost to the church. That happens a lot. And I really appreciate the young adults that come back and they remain, and they're faithful, they're serving the Lord, and they love God, and they just do whatever they can. You know, some people are always looking for the perfect church. They want to make sure the church has something just special for them and just right for them. And if it doesn't have that special program, they're off looking for some other church. And Edge hasn't done that. He's stayed right here. This is his home church, and he's part of our church family. And the wonderful thing is that because of his faithfulness to the Lord, he met this beautiful young lady, and she didn't know Jesus. And he said, you know, let me tell you about Jesus. And through his influence, brought her to the Lord, right? Amen. And they got married. And what a wonderful story. How the heritage that he gained here, he now has shared with someone else who's now his wife. And when they bring their children up, guess what? There's going to be a little bit of the Trinity heritage in the lives of those children, because most of what he knows from the Lord and his training and everything is through this church. And he's going to pass it on to his children, and they're going to be a blessing. He's continuing the godly heritage that was passed down from his grandparents to his parents, and now to him and to Annie, and they're going to pass it on to their children. That's the way it works, folks. That's the way the kingdom of God expands. That's the way it grows, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And I'm so thankful that we can have them here. Now, the reason they're standing here is because this is their last Sunday here at Trinity. And he's accepted a job way up in Bangor, Maine. It's not all the way up, but it's still a long ways from here. And here's the wonderful thing about it. You know, God always does things well. He never makes mistakes. But a lot of Annie's family, they're from that area, right where they're going. Who would have thought that he got a job and they're close by, and one of the burdens of Annie's heart is to be a witness to her family, because a lot of them don't know the Lord. So they see this as a mission. God's sending them forth. That's what a missionary does. You know, he receives the call of God, and then he goes forth, and he ministers as God has him. And so really, I believe they're on assignment from the Lord. They're on assignment, and they're going there, and it's going to be a lot of new experiences for them. It's a different area, different culture, all of that. But we are just praying that God's blessing will be upon them. And I'm going to ask you to stand again. I want to ask for all of us then to give this opportunity to pray. We're going to ask the Lord to be with them in their journey together as they make this move. It's a big move for them, but I believe God is in it, and God is going to bless them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your calling in our lives. And with every step we take, Lord, there's purpose in it. You don't make mistakes, and it's not just circumstances. The hand of God is in what we do. The steps of a righteous man are ordered to the Lord. Your word declares that. And so I thank you for Edge and his Christian example, and for his wife Annie. And now they're going forth to this new place, and they're going to meet new friends, going to have a new church home. And Lord, I just pray that you would make them a blessing. There in the workplace, there in the church, there in the community, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would anoint them, help them to be all that you want them to be. You have a purpose in this. And so we pray that they would fulfill that purpose. And, Lord, that they would receive daily guidance and help and spiritual strength along the way. And we pray for the relatives and friends, Lord, that they're going to. Many don't know you, Lord. We just pray that you would help their efforts in reaching out to them in Christian love, that they might come to know the love of Christ as they know your love, Lord. And so I ask your blessing upon them, that you would grace their home with your presence, that all who enter into their home will sense the presence of the Lord. They'll know there's something different, and it's because of your presence there in that home. I pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. You can be seated, and the church has a little something that we wanted to just express to you. I mean, this is the only church you've had. And so we thought, you know, it would be appropriate to at least give you this and a nice little gift here that is a reminder. Hopefully you'll find a place for this in your new home there, and it'll remind you of your church family here. Because, you know, you may leave us, but that doesn't mean that we've thrown you out of the family. You're still a part of our church family, right? That's the way it works around here. I mean, the Marinellis, they can't get away with it either. They're stuck with us, and so are the Kalanishes. They're stuck with us too. We just consider them part of our church family, and we love you and appreciate you and pray for God's best in your lives. God bless. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. All these goodbyes lately, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Now, I think this could be a first. I don't know. It could be a first. I'm going to have my son, Aaron, if he would come up to the platform. If you come on up, there he comes. A few weeks ago, we had a talent contest. Remember, Trinity's Got Talent? And we had all kinds of interesting presentations. And Aaron had prepared a rap, a Christian rap. So there were some others that wanted to hear another one again, and I guess the Marinellis, they said, well, where was the one for us? You know, leaving, I guess. So he put this together, and I don't know, we're going to let him do this, but we figured it's their last Sunday. Well, you're going to get what you asked for. Okay, so here we go, and Aaron's going to do his rap. Get this. Let's see if this one's.
All right. It's for you. Farewell, the Dallas Warning.
Yo, it's the Marinellis. Dallas better make way. The face so strong, they're a walking felony. Never scared to cross the line, as long as it's divine. Shit, the face so explosive. Dynamite, never backing down from a fight. Their presence will make the enemy's defenses tremble. For they're a symbol, bringing light to the lost, no matter what the cost. Show, Dallas seems to pack in heat. When the Marinellis walk through, they might as well take a seat. For a storm is coming and it ain't no sleep. Dallas better be ready, as it's starting to Chevy. For his presence will be known. Luckily for them, these good people aren't on loan. They're gonna be there to stay. So, this is what I gotta say. Shit! This is the Dallas Warning. For some, he could be mourning, because his people have their feet planted on the ground. The roots so deep, they'll never be turned upside down. They walk by faith so bold, they'll never turn to mold. Just gotta stay true, always stick to his truth. When hard times come, he gotta fight through, and you'll knock him dead like Babe Ruth. Shit. But don't get me wrong, you'll be missed at the end of this song, so this is a farewell. But we cannot dwell on the fact that they're leaving this pack, for they stayed true when things went all out of whack. You'll truly be missed, as if you're the last of the Hershey Kiss.
Okay, now when people say, what did you do on Sunday? You say, I went to church and heard rap. Okay, appreciate that. Thanks a lot, Aaron, for doing that. Yeah, he wrote that and did the whole thing, and we appreciate that. And we appreciate the Marinellis, too, and praise the Lord. Well, and after the service, like I said, we're going to have a reception time. We're going to honor our graduate this year, Pierce Stevens. Hey, Pierce. Yeah. Why don't you come right up here? And I'm going to ask his dad to come up, too, if his dad would come up, too. And I'm going to have his dad say a few things in just a minute here, but just a few recollections. I recall when I came nearly 10 years ago, I getting used to the church family here, and I met this family of Stevens and their boys, and we all know how they're all involved in athletics and everything, and I saw how one thing that impressed me about Pierce was his intensity. Whenever I saw him, and I saw him out there and playing in the football leagues that he was in and various things, a certain intensity that was there. And, you know, that's important in sports. That's important. That whatever you're doing, in fact, the scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do it with intensity. Do it with all your might. And that's a good thing. That's a good characteristic. And I, at the time, I thought, you know, I believe that he's going to excel in various ways and certainly in this the area of sports. And he did, and Pinkerton, guess what? You were one of the key people there. I went to a couple of those games, and I saw you made some key plays, and I know that God has blessed you and honored you with talent. And I'm going to have his dad come. You know, Mark and Kathleen, they've been coming here for years now, bringing their family here. Mark's an attorney in the area, He's also involved in sports programs. It helps coaching and all of that, too. And we love this family. Mark, I'm going to let you come now. Come in if you want to say a few words concerning Pierce.
Sure. Me and Kathleen are real proud of Pierce. Can you hear me back? Am I loud enough back there? Kathleen told me to make sure and speak loud like I do in court. We're real proud of Pierce for graduating high school and proud for what he did in the football field this year. And that really tied in with him getting into a good college, the State University of New York Maritime College, which is a difficult college to get into academically. It helps out if you play good defense, you know. And I met one of their coaches at a coaches conference in February, and I said, I watched their defense, and I could see him fitting into that. And I said, I want you to watch somebody. And I said, watch this at lunch. The guy took a lunch break, and he came back, and he said, yeah, that kid can play for us. Who is he? And I said, it's my kid. And he said, okay. He says, give me the film, here's how to apply and all this stuff, and I'll help that application along, and he did. And we think this is the right place for him. It's a great opportunity for him, and we're proud of him for getting in there. And he did a great job on the football field. When we talk to football coaches, we talk about things that might not sound very church-like, but I said, he's big, he's nasty, and he hates to get blocked. And the guy says, yeah, that's what we're looking for. So we're real proud of him. Aries, you want to say anything?
I'd just like to thank my family, and my upbringing in this church has really been a big impact in my life. It's really guided me in the right direction, and I'd like to thank all of you for being there throughout my childhood, and thank you to my family. I love you all. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Jen has a presentation at this time from the youth group.
Here we go. This is for you, Pierce. It's from our church family and the youth group. And we cannot say how proud we are of you and all the hard work that you've done. And, you know, he's a very quiet personality, but he puts hard work and effort into everything that he does. And we just wish you the best of luck. We're praying for you. And just a little something to kind of help you and guide you. So
thank you.
You're welcome. Congratulations.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. God bless you.
Amen. After the service this morning, back in the corner there, there's a display there, that little bit of a history of Pierce, some of his accomplishments and things. You'll want to visit that table back there. And I know many of you will want to wish him well. We have a basket there for cards. We alerted you to this fact so that you make sure if you have a card for him, an expression of appreciation, you can put it in the basket back there. And I know that he'll appreciate your thoughts and comments. So that's after the service during our reception time. Please, it's not going to be lengthy. I know some of you have plans. It's Father's Day. But if you can, we want you to stay and for a few minutes if you could and just have a little bit of fellowship with us before you leave. We're going to let the children go to their children's church right now. They're going to go, and I have an important word I want to share with you. So if the adults will hold steady here as the children make the transition. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, I want to use as a text this morning and share a few thoughts with you today. Matthew 5:16 is a well-known verse of Scripture, but it certainly is appropriate for us as we consider the concept of fatherhood and what it means. I already mentioned this morning that in our society, modern society has taken and has almost reinvented the concept of fatherhood to mean many things. Some of the things are not necessarily biblical. And so as I point your attention to this verse and read this verse to you, I want to then make some comments this morning on the subject, reflections of our Father. Matthew 5:16 says this, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Reflections of our Father. Shall we bow in prayer and ask God's anointing on the word? Lord Jesus, we love you today. We thank you for your blessing in our lives. And we thank our Heavenly Father for what he means to us today as believers born again. And Father, I pray that today that you would just reveal yourself again, reveal your love and your mercy, your strength and courage that you give. Lord, reveal these things to us and to these men who sit here today in this place. Help us to be the kind of men of God that you would have us be. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you a simple question. For the men this morning, are you like your dad? Think about it a moment. Are you like your dad? It's an interesting question, because I'm sure from time to time you've heard someone say, as they observed someone's son in some kind of an activity, say, "Why, he's just like his dad." You know, even sometimes they'll say that of daughters. They'll say, "Why, she's just like her dad." I wonder what that means. What does it mean to the person who says that when they say, "You're just like your dad"? Some of you here today might say, "Well, I hope I'm not like my dad because your experience was not a good one." And so if someone were to say that of you, you might wonder, what does that person, what does that individual mean by saying that of me, that I'm just like my dad? Everyone has an earthly father. And we, to a certain degree, are a result of that experience we've had with our earthly father. But you know that everyone on the face of the earth also has a spirit father. You say, what do you mean by that, a spirit father? And some might think, oh, you're going to get into some kind of spiritual kind of thing where we're talking about spirit guides and all that. No, I'm not going there. But I believe that all of us, and it's true, the Bible indicates this, that there's a spirit father for every person on the face of the earth. The spirit father for Christians is God, our heavenly father. The spirit father for non-Christians, the Bible declares it's the devil. You say, that's a harsh thing to say. Some people would react to that and say, what do you mean? I don't serve the devil. Well, it's very clear from Scripture that God sees us in one of two ways. We're either his children or we're children of another. And in various passages in Scripture, it tells us that that other is defined as being the devil. Now, I know that's offensive to a lot of folk. A lot of folk would say, well, that's a terrible thing to say. Just because I'm not a Christian, you're saying that my father is the devil? Well, let's take a look at what it says in God's Word. In John, the 8th chapter, in verse 42, and to set the scene, the context is that Jesus had certain individuals who were asking questions of him. They were religious people. They were trying to trick him. They were trying to trap him. They were trying to get him in some kind of a contradiction that they could level against him. They were accusing him of all kinds of things that were unseemly and intimating that his work really was not from heaven, that he really wasn't from God. And so Jesus is dealing with these individuals who are pressing him hard and they're making these insinuations and these accusations. And Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. Now listen closely to what he says in the next verse. John 8:44. He says it right here. You are of your father, the devil. There it is. Jesus said, you're not from the heavenly father, my heavenly father. He said, you're of your father, the devil. Who is he saying it to? He's saying it to all those who are bringing accusations against him. Those who are trying to undermine his significance and the significance of his ministry. He was saying to them, you're of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. And then he goes on to say this, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. There it is. It's very plain. Jesus, he says, look, you're either of God or you're not of God. You either have a heavenly father, your spirit father is either God, or your spirit father is the devil. There's no other way. There are those who want to argue and say, why, there's got to be other ways to God, but the scripture is clear, and it comes back to that same conclusion. There is no other road to heaven. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. And we live in a world that wants to say there are many, many roads. We live in a world that does not want to judge anybody or anything. We live in a world that doesn't want anybody to say anything that can be perceived as being negative of someone else's religion. But the scripture is clear, isn't it? The scripture really doesn't leave us any room for hedging. It doesn't really leave us any other option but to clearly hear what God has revealed to us in his word through the words of Christ. Jesus says, why, you're not of my father. You're of your father, the devil. And he's a liar. He's a liar. We should well listen to the word of Scripture,
The devil is a liar, and it is the devil that will try to come and deceive you and to get you off track and to try to cause you to make decisions that are wrong, that will somewhere down the road cause you to experience the pain and the fruit of it. And time and time again, there have been individuals who have thought, well, I can still be a Christian and I can do this or I can do that. And the devil is speaking in their ear and he's tempting them and trying to get them off track. But listen to me this morning. The devil is a liar. He's always been a liar. He always will be a liar. He will never tell you the truth. His very nature is such, and he will lie to you, and he will try to dissuade you and cause you to stumble if he can cause you to do so. And Jesus, he just speaks to the problem. He's very forthright, and nowadays that's not very popular in many circles. Why, how can you be so harsh? How can you be so hard? How can you be so critical? That's what many in the world would say if you were to tell them that their father was really the devil. You wouldn't get too many friends. They would label you as some kind of a crackpot, some kind of a religious nut, some kind of a fanatic if you said that. How unkind, how inconsiderate, how mean-spirited you are. And yet Jesus, no one had compassion like Jesus. No one displayed love like Jesus. No one cares so much for the lost like Jesus. He just said the truth, regardless of what people want to hear. That wasn't so important. For Christ, it was that they hear the truth. And the truth is, when you're not serving God, and you don't have God as your spirit father in heaven to guide you, then you are under the control of your father, the devil. Hard words. We bear the image of our heavenly Father as men of God that are striving to do his will. It doesn't mean we're perfect. The world tries to label anyone who stumbles along life's path, any well-meaning Christian who makes a mistake, as being a hypocrite or a phony. And we don't say that you'll never make a mistake. As a Christian, we make mistakes, as everybody does. Just because we're children of God, just because we're trying to serve God, just because we're Christian fathers, doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes. But the difference is that when we do make a mistake, we feel conviction and we turn back to God. We don't try to, in some way, explain away our mistake. We don't call it just a sickness or an illness or just some kind of propensity we have that's beyond our control. We call it for what it is. Sin is sin. And we face it up. We say, yes, it's sin and I have sinned. And I ask God for forgiveness. And God welcomes us as a heavenly Father should, as we should welcome those who are contrite and repentant in spirit. We welcome the prodigal back into the family, as we have that example in Scripture. Though they were wandering and astray, and though they perhaps got involved in things that took them out from under the protective protection of an all-loving God. And that's what happens, you know. You say, what's the danger? Well, if you go out into the world and you don't serve the Lord the way you ought to serve, you actually step out from under his protective hand. He'll protect you as long as you're faithful. But if you want to go your own way, you choose your own way to go, then you remove yourself from that protection that God has. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. He does care for you, but you have made your choice. And sometimes God will allow you to experience some very hurtful things in life, very damaging things, not to destroy you, but to cause you to stop and turn around and come back under that covering of his love and protection. We have a heavenly Father who cares that much about us. And so we read in Scripture, in John's 17th chapter, we read about the love of the Father that is in us. The 25th verse of John 17 says, O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me, and I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them and I in them. There it is. The love of his heavenly Father was in him. And now Jesus says, all these things, I want this love that's in me to be in them. Let's take a look at that love of our heavenly Father in us. What does that mean? Well, if you look at Scripture, it's very clear. As a godly Father, one of the things is love for our enemies. That's one of the hardest things to do. We've talked about that before. It's not easy to love somebody who doesn't like you. It's not easy to love somebody who hates you. It's not easy to love somebody who is doing despicable things against you, hurtful things against you. And the world says the way you get around this is you gain the upper hand and somehow you gain revenge against that individual. God's word says, no, that's not the way you go. You're to love your enemies. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. We're to love our enemies. Do you know, fathers, the way you treat those who are spiteful towards you will have an impact on your children, because they're going to face times in life when people are going to treat them ill. They're going to have times when people aren't going to be so kind to them. And what are they going to do? More often than not, they'll remember, how did my parents handle it? How did my dad handle it? You can set the mark. You, by example, you can say, look, this is the way a Christian father acts in the face of hurtful and harmful things that have been done. What we do next, how do we handle it? And in the same token, you can have a disastrous effect by not acting properly. It'll speak volumes to your child. Your child's going to remember, what did my dad do? Oftentimes, one of the first things we should do is go into prayer. We say, well, we pray about it. Ask God to give us the grace. And then we try to be kind, the best of our ability. It's not always easy. Sometimes we have to ask the Holy Spirit to subdue the flesh, and so that we can do what is right in those times. One of the things that keeps the church from growing so often is the hurtful things that people have kept held up within them. And they will not render forgiveness. They will not ask for, they will not render forgiveness. And they keep it pent up. And they wonder why the blessing of the Lord is not upon them as it is in other people's lives. They wonder why the blessing of God hasn't come to their family the way it's seen in other families in the church. Oftentimes it's because of things that have been pent up down deep in the heart. And that they have not taken the time to release them. They have not taken the time to love their enemies, for example. They haven't taken the time to be Christ to those who are hurtful and harmful. I know how it is. The flesh is such that you want to just rear up. You want to defend yourself. And somebody slaps you on the face and says, turn the other cheek. And one fella, he said, well, preacher, what do I do? He said, this guy hit me. The preacher said, well, turn the other cheek. He said, well, he hit that cheek. Then what do I do? He says, I ran out of cheeks. What do I do? Well, I don't know. You leave that. Some would say, well, you just give him a good one. I guess there's a time for everything, but Scripture tells us clearly that we're to love our enemies, and especially when it's for the cause of Christ. When you're being persecuted because of the fact that you're a Christian, you know, there are going to be some people in the workplace, and they just hate you, not because of you personally. They hate you because of what you represent. They just hate Christians. They've bought into the media and all of all that the ways that Christians are portrayed in the media. And so what they've developed is a resentment against Christians in general. And so when you say you're a born-again Christian, or you love the Lord, or you're trying to live your life for the Lord, and you witness whatever, what they do, because they bought into this image that's been sold to America, by and large, through the media. The only Christians some people like are the Christians that are watered down and wishy-washy and really aren't born again. There are these Christians, you know, they lead religious organizations and great churches and everything, and they're doing all kinds of good deeds in the human sense, but they're not really proclaiming that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They're not proclaiming that Jesus is the only way. They have such a big, magnanimous heart, they're opening the door that just anybody can get into heaven. And it's not so important as to exactly how you believe with respect to Christ. And this whole idea that you have to accept him as Lord and Savior. And there are a lot of clergy out there that are preaching this kind of a message in these days. Those are the ones that are welcomed by our world and by our society. But if you hold firm to what the word declares, then all of a sudden you'll find yourself to be an outcast. There are many people who disdain you and hate you, even in the workplace, because of what you represent. What you represent. Well, not only are we to love our enemies, the scripture says we are to forgive. In Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. We are to love Jesus Christ also. Not only are we to love our enemies, are we to have a forgiving spirit, but we're to also love Jesus Christ. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. John 8:42 declares it. We need men who love Christ enough to take a stand for him. You have to have such a love for God, you love Jesus Christ, that you'd be willing to take a stand. Take a stand. You know, some people say, well, I'll take a stand as long as it doesn't mean that I'm going to be jeopardized in any way. How many have stood in a place where they could have achieved some kind of advancement in their profession, and they haven't because they would not take a stand on a Christian principle? They wouldn't take a stand as they should have. And those that do don't get that position. They don't get that advancement. There are others that will go the way of the crowd and say, well, I don't see what the big deal is. You got to separate the church from the workplace. We are to forgive. We are to love Jesus Christ. We need men who love Christ enough to take a stand for him. These principles embody the whole law of God. Very simple ones. Jesus was asked the question one time, teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second, that you shall love your neighbors yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. And as a man of God, you could say very simply, I want to love God with my whole heart, with my whole soul, with all my mind. And I want to love my neighbor as myself and treat others as God would have me treat them. I want to be forgiving in my spirit. I want to learn how to do good to those who would despitefully use me. You see, those are reflections of a heavenly Father. And I would simply ask you in conclusion, does the world see your Father in you? Does the world see your heavenly Father in you? Shall we bow in prayer? God of heaven, we love you this morning. You're our Father. We think of the authority that goes with that position. Yet so many feel attacked. So many feel not appreciated. So many feel that God-given authority has been undermined. Today, Lord, I pray that you would instill within each man of God here today the importance of being a man of God, taking the stand they need to take, knowing that there is one in heaven, their heavenly Father, who will bless them, who will guide them, who will lead them, who will love them, who will watch over them, who will provide, one who will not fail them. God himself, their heavenly Father, will bless them if they'll simply stand on the principles of your word. So this morning again, Lord, I pray for each man here that they would look beyond any failures of the past, not allow the enemy to distract them, not allow the enemy to discourage them. We know that there will oftentimes come condemnation from the devil. We know there will be times when he will try to discourage and impede the progress of the church. And he will oftentimes come to those who are being used in your service. And I pray, Lord, that in those moments that the righteousness of the Lord will rise up, that the banner of the Lord will be raised, and that men of God, men of faith, will rely on you and look to you, and they will stand firm. They will not relent, but they will be strengthened by the strength that only you can give by your Holy Spirit. They will arise and they shall be victorious as men of God. We pray for your life and your spirit to be reflected in our lives. Reflections of our Heavenly Father in us. So that it could rightfully be said of any one of us, you're just like your dad. Just like your dad. Father, we pray in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what I want to be. I want to be like my heavenly dad, don't you? Huh? My heavenly dad. I love my earthly father. It was always a compliment. Someone said, you're just like your dad, but oh, how much more it means. You're just like your heavenly father. Would you stand with me as we prepare to dismiss? Remember, we have this time of fellowship planned. And I know some of you have plans, but if you could just stay for a few minutes and get to chat a little bit. I know you want to personally wish Pierce well and make sure you take the opportunity to see the display over there. And then, of course, we have the Marinellis and the Kaladishes that are, this is their last Sunday, and we want to also wish them well, too. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here today. And we're going to leave this place in a little bit, and may we go with your divine protection. May we go encouraged in our hearts that we can be everything you want us to be, not because of our ability, but because of your spirit at work in our lives. May we accomplish something significant for you and your kingdom this very week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and have a great Lord's Day.
On my own, now that I am seen.